hear me?
Good morning, yes, I can.
Can you state your name?
Edward Multivias.
Okay, so my name is Luis Quinones. I'm the acting board chair for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The next voice you will hear is our panel lead, Mr. David Neal. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
The point for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency today in reference to your revocation or your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce a board member to conduct your hearing at this time. To your far left on screen is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. To your right is the Honorable Louis Quinones. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing leader. Okay, so I don't know if I did this or not. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Yes, Edward Alvarez Montevideo, 202647.
Thank you, sir. So, also in the room today, we have Mr. Ruffin from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. Prior to the hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. You remember that form?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, on that form, you're notified we'd like to appear and speak on your behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today.
Can you swear to me and Mr. Westby at this time? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God or do you so affirm?
Absolutely.
And then, can you hear me? We've got two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the four allegations that are on the warrant. And after each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. So allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Edition of Supervision Number 7. As demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about October 1st, 2018, per the TAB GCMS lab report dated October 4th, 2018. Now, true or false, sir?
True.
All right, allegation number two is violation of the Arizona Edition of Supervision Number 7. It was demonstrated by our use of methamphetamine on or about September 27, 2018, for the TAF GCMS lab report dated October 1st, 2018. That one true or false, sir?
True.
Okay, allegation number three is violation of the Arizona Edition of Supervision Number 7. I've been informed by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about November 7, 2018, for the TAF individual testing compliance summary dated December 6, 2018. Now, true or false, sir?
True, sir.
And allegation number four is violation of the Arizona Division of Supervision Number 3 is demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence located at Beverly, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about November 8, 2018, without the prior approval of your parole officer. That true or false, sir?
True.
Okay, so based on the admissions of Mr. Montevideo, I am going to find you as he was violated the terms and conditions of supervision on that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in the criminal company's way.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Rittenhouse. Anybody else? Okay, so we're going to move into phase two in a moment. But before we move to Westby's going to give you some background information, so stay there on the phone and I'll get right back with you, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
Mr. Montevideo was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on March 26, 2018. He was arrested November 30, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on November 30, 2018 with an adjusted our projected community supervision end date of March 26, 2019, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2012, theft of means of transportation, 7 years. Prior convictions, 2006, theft, 1 year. 2006, burglary, second degree, 2.5 years. 2006, theft of means of transportation, 6.5 years. This is his second term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information notes, he is a New Mexico Mafia STG suspect. Prior terms of supervision, 2011, TIS release, arrested on new felony, theft of means, reached CSED in jail. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrest, 2004, DUI, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G6V7.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we're going over a summary of the case supervision. March 26th of 2018, you were released under the status of homeless. Then on the same date, you approved the rewrite of TLC 2002 Eastern Welcome Fields. Then on March 27th, 2018, you were approved by parole officer Crumpman to reside at 655 South Mesa Drive, number 2017 in Mesa, Arizona, and that would have ended your brother. So then May 8th of 2018, you were pleased by parole officer Groves to change the address to that of your fiance, which is on Fillmore Street in Phoenix. Then on October 4, 2018, you were accepted in the V-Ray, the 2501 West Elm Street address, where you resided until leaving the property without approval from the parole officer Groves on November 8, 2018, and not returning with subsequent discharge from the program per V-Ray. Okay, so you didn't return, you were subsequently discharged from the program per order of V-Ray management. And at no other time during your supervision did you report or obtain approval to change the address to the parole officer Groves. So when you have V-Ray, where'd you go, sir?
I went back to my home that I was approved for prior to V-Ray, which is on Fillmore Street. So I had to attend to my fiance and kids, and you know, it was a stupid decision to do that, just to leave and without notifying the parole officer, but you know, I went back home to that address that I was at before Beaver.
Okay. So, what was the issue with the children?
Well, I was the only provider, and them being taken to school, picked up from school, my wife, or my fiance, I mean, is ill from ovarian cancer. She has ovarian cysts, and she's dealing with that. I'm her only help, you know, and helping her with the kids and stuff like that. It was kind of difficult. Me leaving to V-Ray and her having to do that was all kind of difficult. So I was trying to juggle V-Ray and doing that at the same time, it backfired on me.
Okay. So when is time, were you working while you were out, sir?
Yes, I had an appointment with PV Landscaping Services at the time, which, like I said earlier, I'm the only provider for my family at the time, and yeah, it was just I was chuckling everything at once, and then I ended up just moving back into with my fiance and kids to just be there more, and I guess that's when he decided to violate me for that condition.
Okay, well, it seems you had quite a few problems over the period of time that you were out programming. You were assigned a task And it's showing, yeah, negative, and then they had a failure to test. And 3 days later, they had negative. That was good. Failure. But the next day, we were positive for meth. Then we missed a couple of UAs, and we were positive for meth again. And they had from about the middle of May till about the middle, a little past the middle of June, you had the negative results when you were directed to test by the MRC staff. So you've been there pretty good for a while. Then you had the little result, but the next day you were negative.
Yes, the Lewis were because at that time working with the landscaping place, as I was explaining to my parole officer at the time, I was just drinking a lot of water. And then there'd be times where he'd call, there was a couple of times where he called and was like, he had told me you missed your UA yesterday, can you UA today? And that's when I went in, and there was a couple of them, or a few of them that were deluded because of the job. And that's pretty much why that.
The delusion ones, a lot of times, they just, you know, if the, whatever their parameters are, if it's outside those parameters, they call it delusion. Sometimes it's very delusion, sometimes it's not so much. The thing is, usually, and this is why they put all the results in, but there's not a big concern when you have a failure to test, or they delete the sample, when you do another one and it comes out negative. Whereas when people try to delete things and it comes out positive, then it's not such a good thing. But you went all the way into September, not too bad. Was your negative, and there were some diluted, but the ones that you did the ones the next day, they were negative. But then when you hit September, it looks like you relapsed, sir.
Yes, sir. I was, like I said, there was a lot of juggling going on at the time, and I ended up confessing to my parole officer, hey, look, I have a problem, I have relapsed, what can you do to help me? And they threw me in, that's when he decided to put me in with Vibre. Before Vibre, he recommended MRC again, but I was going through some health issues. I was urinating blood at the time, and I was on a lot of medication, and I had a few doctor's appointments, so MRC passed on me, and so there he put me into Vibre. Now, the V-Bray program was a very good program, and I wish I would have completed it or had time to assess everything and get back on track like I am now and be completed that, because at that time I really needed that help that I was asking for when I had relapsed. I confessed to my parole officer that, you know, hey, look, I do have a problem here.
Okay. I'm going to sit with my fellow board members. Have any questions at this time? Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Matsubayas, I may be reading this wrong, but it looks like the V-Ray discharge notice suggests that you might have been positive for opiates as well?
Well, the opiates was a prescription that was given to me by the hospital, which I notified my parole officer and I notified V-Ray about. But prior to being housed into Vibre, there was a requirement to UA, right, which was, I had just got done with the parole office and they had just told me to report there, and that's the day that I had admitted and asked for help with my parole officer that I was dirty and that I needed help. So that's why that one first UA at Vibre was positive, but every subsequent UA after that was negative.
Okay, so the opiates was some kind of, like a pain pill they gave you in the hospital?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It was a prescription.
Right. And that, those will show positive for opiates, so.
No, I think it was.
What were you doing when the Phoenix PD picked you up?
I was in the parking lot of my house, or my apartment, that we did that, and when I seen the PD pass by, I shut the door of my car and rushed into my house. Now, they, for some reason, felt that that was suspicious and went knocking to my door, and therefore, when I answered the door, they asked if anybody else was in the house. So I told them no. They looked through the house. I walked out with them. And when they ran my name, that's when they said I had a warrant out for Alhambra for parole.
Okay, sir. All right,
which
thank
I
you.
I didn't know at the time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Mr. Ginellis, you agree with that? So, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will end the discussion in a couple of moments to make a determination. But before we do, I'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else that you think might be pertinent to our decision. We just ask that you uncover the information we've already discussed. So if there's anything else you'd like to tell us, sir?
Yes, throughout my whole time incarcerated, if it's noted or even looked at, you'll notice that as the years went on, the less prone to disobeying regulations or rules or stuff was getting to a minimum. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm just not about that anymore. I am not about the game stuff. I mean, I'm not about going against rules and regulations. It's just, I had a mishap, I had relapsed. I'm blessed with the department. I'm back on track. I just would like to get back on track with my family at home.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Westby, you have some information?
Yes, I'm reading the final notes here, and Mr. Monsavius said that he was, police came to the, he was arrested because there was a warrant issued from Alhambra. However, our information shows that he was arrested November 30th, 2018 by Phoenix PD. The warrant wasn't issued until December 3rd, which was after his arrest. A matter of fact, there's a note in the criminal note that says, Phoenix PD report to be requested, warrant to be corrected with the no ETS, exact arrest details not known at this time.
Okay. So why did Phoenix stop you in the first place?
They said that my behavior rushing inside to my apartment was suspicious. Now, I didn't commit no crimes. I wasn't committing no crimes at the time, but the neighborhood that I live in is so high in crime that they thought that was suspicious. Now, I didn't give them any trouble as opposed to when they asked me to come out of my apartment or anything. I gave them all my information. I had really nothing to hide, and they were the ones who told me I had a warrant that I didn't even know I had the warrant. I was explaining to the police officers, look, they said, are you good with parole? I said, look, I don't know about now because one of my conditions is not to have any police contact, but therefore, if I hear talking to you guys, I have to report tomorrow. And then they waited a few minutes. They were going to release me, but then it came through the radio that there was a warrant to Alhambra that I violated and needed to be taken in.
Okay.
Right. But yeah, as far as, yeah.
Well, it's possible that, I'm just saying it would have been possible for like dispatch to contact the PO, and the PO said he's already messed up, but you don't have any chronicles notes to that effect, do you?
No, there was nothing entered into the sieges, so the police could not have arrested him on a warrant that we had not issued yet. So they had to arrest him for some other reason or charge, but as far as on parole, you cannot go ahead and arrest somebody without a warrant.
Okay.
Well, the issue, I guess, is somewhat new. There were several violations prior to that arrest, and he barely had a warrant, so we'll go on that because it's too hard to verify exactly what happened, but maybe he was arrested. So, the board will be doing a discussion, make a determination, sir. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So, we ask that you remain silent, but you can stay there on the phone, hear the entire conversation, and when we're done, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
What is now in discussion? Well, this is a little bit unusual and just not really knowing exactly what the police contact was or the basis of the arrest or anything. And because this is not a court of law, that's not an issue we could deal with anyway. But Mr. Montalvo seems to have relapsed toward the end of his stay out there. And instead of staying at the approved location to get some help with that, he went home, and I understand, take care of kids, those kind of issues, but on community supervision, you've got to follow the rules and at least discuss the situation with the PO before you take that kind of action. You've got less than 3 months left. And based on the number of violations and the progression of them, I don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision this time, but I'm willing to listen to some discussion from my fellow board members.
Thank you.
Okay, so based on all information, we're at 2018W3482, Mr. Mathabias' testimony and information from the department is correct. And I move the local community supervision of Mr. Montalvo, as he was going to violate the terms and conditions of supervision and that lapse or without lapse in criminal ways for company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Pinones, and agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse. So the board is voting to revoke your community supervision at this time. According to the paper we have, you're scheduled to be released on March 26, 2019. Unless you violate the law again, you won't have any more responsibility in the Department of Corrections. You'll be able to take care of kids and move forward with your life. But in the meantime, see if you can partake of some NA classes, that type of stuff there in on the yard you're in. And make yourself a good solid plan so that when you get back out there, the stress doesn't push you over the top and get you relapsing again. Okay, sir? We do wish you the best luck. We want to see you be successful. So, you can do it if you put your mind to it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, just leave your hearing and just lay the phone down. Don't hang it up.
Well, sir, can you give the phone to your CO3?